so hi, my name's Ben Bull. I'm with Oregon Tilt. Oregon Tilt is an organic certifier based out of Corvallis, Oregon, but we certify farms across the country and also internationally. And in addition to certification, we have some education programs, and one of those is a agreement that we've had with USDA, NRCS, Natural Resource Conservation Service, since 2010, and we provide training and technical resources and help out NRCS staff about specifically with working with organic producers. So I'm going to be talking on some of our experience around that. And I also worked on this with Jen, who is the West Region Soil Health Team Leader, and that the West Region covers everything from Hawaii and Alaska all the way over, I think, New Mexico. And so she helps train staff at NRCS and work with producers on soil health topics and oversees some staff in that region. And Jen and I are both housed out of an NRCS office in Portland, Oregon. It's a tech support center for other NRCS, and we've collaborated together on working with some organic producers, doing some workshops, and thinking about this kind of nexus of soil health and organic. And so since this time of, since I mentioned 2010 that we've been working with NRCS, there's been a lot of emphasis on soil health at NRCS, and it's grown. And in 2014, NRCS established a soil health division, and as I'm sure all of you know, there's been a lot of communications and things around from NRCS about soil health. The image on the right there shows the kind of four principles of soil health from NRCS about diversity, keeping the soil covered, minimizing disturbance, and maximizing living roots. And so for my presentation, I wanted to do something a little bit different. I don't have data to present, but rather I wanted to share some kind of lessons and some takeaways that I've seen from our time of communicating soil health principles and concepts to organic producers and to ag professionals, NRCS staff, who are then going to go on ahead and work with organic producers. And the lessons are not in a particular order, and I do think that they're applicable to conventional producers in some cases as well, but these are ones I sort of see as experience working with organic. So the first one is kind of think of soil health principles, and I'm specifically thinking about those four principles that NRCS focuses on, but those principles as a range, not as absolutes. And so I think it's particularly important talking to producers who are just starting to explore soil health, but also for experienced producers. And by that, by a range, I mean that if there's not just tillage and no tillage. There are things in between, and there's lots of nuance between those kind of ends of a spectrum, and that there's a lot of value in keeping that in mind when communicating with producers, especially organic producers. And so, you know, I think organic producers can certainly minimize tillage. They can reduce the amount of disturbance, and so that can be either the number of passes in the field, things that folks have talked about already, or finding just portions of their field to perform tillage, or other disturbance, the type of equipment that they have available. But for most organic producers, it's very challenging to eliminate tillage completely. So I think by thinking about that specific principle of disturbance within a range is really helpful in talking with organic producers, not trying to make it that they have to get to no-till to be successful in terms of implementing soil health principles. And, you know, it's used for weed control, but also in certain systems like growing potatoes. It's hard to harvest potatoes if we don't have any disturbance of the soil, for example. And kind of also on this spectrum, it's relevant to other principles, so I would say plant diversity. There's lots of different ways to increase diversity in the system, and so we could have a more complex crop rotation, for example, maybe interseeding a cover crop into a standing cash crop, as in this picture, or then thinking about if you're using cover crops to increase the number of species. And so again, it's just a sort of a range. It's not a definite end point and beginning point. So another principle that I think, or a lesson in terms of talking with organic producers or organic audience around these soil health principles, is that some principles are just inherently harder to implement in certain cropping systems. And so this isn't, I guess, specific to organic, but I want to use it in an organic context. So a lot of organic producers do grow specialty crops. They grow vegetables, not all, but many, and there are some vegetables that are just really hard to grow without some disturbance. And so it's challenging to prep a bed to grow carrots in if you don't use any disturbance to prepare that seed bed. And also, I think having living roots and keeping the soil covered year-round is can be really challenging in some systems. And so, for example, it's hard to get in an early season spring vegetable crop. And so, you know, we can think about using a cover crop that winter kills to help address that. But in terms of cover crops, I think there's oftentimes trade-offs that organic producers as other producers are thinking about. And so they might be using their cover crops to provide nitrogen and using them for that purpose versus building up soil organic matter. Another lesson learned, again relevant not just to organic, but that regional and climate variations are really important to keep in mind. And so here, this was up with NRCS in Alaska, and it just, the challenge of a very short growing season makes it difficult to, you know, include cover crops or to keep the soil covered year-round and have that living root because they have such a short growing season. And then I think also cover crop establishment can be really challenging in non-irrigated areas, really dry areas as well. And, you know, so slugs, I know they plague producers in different parts of the country, but in Western Oregon, where I'm from, slugs are definitely a big problem, and not just for organic producers. But one of the main tools that producers use is tillage to address slugs, and there just are very few other options to address those. And so it's not just weed control that organic producers are having to resort to tillage for, but also some pests that are really prevalent and can cause a lot of problems, such as slugs in the Pacific Northwest. And so another lesson learned is that many organic practices are good in terms of soil health, but more is not always better. And for this one, I'm specifically thinking about additions of organic matter. And so additions of organic matter can help offset some of the negative impacts of disturbance, so helping to keep those organic organic levels high. But, you know, excessive levels of compost and manure can be bad in terms of other environmental impacts, and so it can result in these really high levels of phosphorus, which is just another challenge for organic producers if they're really reliant on those materials to offset some of their disturbance. And another thing we've seen is that just a real value and importance of designing any outreach materials, to design them, if you're focusing on organic producers, to really include organic producers and design them specifically for that audience. And so I'm sure many of you have seen these, but NRCS for a while was doing these profiles, videos, and written profiles on producers that were implementing soil health principles across the country. A lot of them were no-till producers in the upper Midwest, which is great, and they're doing a really good job, those conventional producers implementing soil health principles. But those weren't really speaking, I think, to an organic producer. And so NRCS went out and interviewed several organic producers in Iowa and also in Oregon, and created these profiles specifically talking about organic producers as they try to implement soil health principles in their operations, some of the specific challenges, some of the things that they are doing on their farms to kind of have success with soil health. And there's new resources that just come out, which I'm particularly excited about. NRCS worked with the Lexicon of Sustainability to develop these new materials specifically about NRCS's support for organic producers. And they're really cool because they use, as the name Lexicon of Sustainability implies, it uses somebody else's language. It wasn't NRCS sort of language in them. And so I think they do a good job of communicating to organic producers. And we've had a lot of success taking these out to some of the organic conferences and some really good feedback. And just wanted to say cheers to Suzanne Pender from NRCS and Lindsay Haynes, who really got these through. It was a big deal to get something like this through at NRCS. And here's just an example of one. There are posters, and there are also videos, and there is a booklet of all of these different profiles and topics, including this one here on crop residue, just to give an example. And another lesson is just that resources and decision tools are important for organic producers. And Doug had just mentioned this a few minutes ago, but Oregon State University, this just is an example of the type of tool, Oregon State University developed this cover crop calculator, which allows producers to compare the cost and the nutrient value of different inputs and different materials, and you can compare cover crops there, and it kind of makes the case, I think, in a lot of instances for using cover crops for fertility because you're able to compare them on a like-for-like in terms of the cost basis. It kind of helps producers think about those things. And another lesson I would say, which been learned for this, I think relevant for other topics as well, but just the real value of peer-to-peer education and information exchange. So Oregon Tilth partnered with NRCS and Oregon State University to do a report recently about the transition to organic. We reached out to lots of producers who had been transitioning, have successfully transitioned, and those who were not successful, and we found that they placed a very high value on the getting their information from experienced producers. And so I would say that in conveying soil health principles, it's relevant here as well, that there's a real value of including producers in workshops and outreach and those sorts of things to talk about how they've been successful in their farm. And we have a conference in the Pacific Northwest called the Farmer to Farmer Exchange, which is just another example of that model, and it's often cited as the sort of favorite conference of producers in the Pacific Northwest. They find a lot of value with it. And kind of in closing here, I just want to say another lesson learned that we all know is that the organic regulations and practices do align really well with natural resource conservation and soil health principles. So we know in the organic regulations that there's a crop rotation requirement, there's a discussion of erosion, there's discussion about building soil organic matter. Specifically, the regulation states that producers must select and implement tillage and cultivation practices that maintain or improve the physical, chemical, and biological condition of soil and minimize soil erosion. And so producers can be doing lots of things to meet these objectives, including cover crops, interseeding. Picture here of a livestock producer maybe designing a rotational grazing system to help build soil health and meet the requirements about organic matter or dry matter inputs. And finally, I would just say that I think a lot of organic producers care very deeply about soil. It might be a big motivating factor for them to be organic producers, and that I think there's a lot of opportunities to work with them to increase soil health, to implement more principles, and to kind of move them further along on the spectrum. I'd say let's not beat up on them for using some tillage. Let's figure out how they can reduce using some of the tillage. And I really do appreciate all the work that's going on. It's been mentioned today and at other universities about how to reduce tillage. I think it's one of the biggest challenges, and just that we need more of that. And I'd love if there was a second, if anybody had any other lessons learned or any other questions. Thanks. Yeah.
Does that ever sort of create a problem, or do you know, in terms of organic farmers are really doing or considering to do a better job or take more of their soil. Is that then some of the other producers? Are they like, well, we're doing a good job too?
Yeah, I think it's a good question, and you know, I think a lot of the soil health things have been just general audience, you know, organic and non-organic producers there, and I think the biggest rub has been around tillage. You know, that I think I'm trying to support more of a nuanced approach to talking about tillage as opposed to the kind of getting to complete no-till as a goal. And I do think that organic producers can feel a little bit offended by some of the kind of emphasis on no-till or something. They feel like they're doing a really good job. I think this might be relevant to some of that research we saw earlier. These organic producers that really value soil, they think they're doing really well, but then when they get the soil test back or they hear these certain messages that conflict with what they're thinking, it can be a real challenge there. And I think just kind of being attentive to that and being careful about how we talk about some of that stuff can be really useful.
Thank you. Good talk.